everyone. Welcome to another episode of Lessons Learned Podcast, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. My name is Suzanne and I'm...
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Lessons Learned, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. My name is Suzanne and I am the head coach at Grace Financial Coaching. I help my clients build strong financial habits so they can experience a more stable future and carefree life. Today, we are talking with my friend, Christine Stevenson-Seal. And Christine is a woman of many talents. Christine's a tax resolution specialist and a personal finance coach. She helps individuals and businesses solve their tax debt and household financial problems. Christine spent time as a tax examiner with the IRS in Austin, Texas, and she spoke with thousands of taxpayers across the country, helping them to reduce their tax bill and understand their obligations going forward. Isn't that a breath of fresh air? As a personal finance coach, Christine helps her clients experience financial transformation and change the default trajectory of their lives. Christine enjoys volunteering at her church and various organizations locally, and she and her husband, Joe, have 7 kids between them and 9 rambunctious grandchildren. How are you, Christine?
I'm great, Suzanne. Thanks for having me on today.
Yes, thank you. So thanks for joining me. Tell me first about, before we get into the taxes, tell me about your financial coaching practice and how you help others.
Absolutely. So back in January of 2012, when I became personally debt-free, I knew immediately that this is something I wanted to help others do as well. I knew I wanted to help them get out of debt and get control of their finances. Fast forward to 2017, I launched my coaching business, Advocate Financial Coaching. And since then, I've been working with about 20 clients every year, and we work to solve their money problems. That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, definitely. So then that brings us to solving tax problems. I mean, I was just telling one of our other colleagues who does tax returns that this year I have had the most clients I've ever had with just crazy tax situations. And some of it was created by the COVID restrictions mm-hmm. on loans and things like that being taken. But most of it is just regular tax stuff that they didn't claim the right thing or not enough of X was being withheld. So how have you helped not only your clients, but also your tax clients navigate through that stuff? Because man, is that scary when you see that piece of paper saying, I owe the IRS what?
Yes. Yes. That's scary, stressful. It's kind of, the worst nightmare type scenario. So for many people, especially now in this tax season, the issues that are coming up have to do with the child tax credit that a lot of parents claimed, or people that had dependent children that they claimed last year. Now they're reconciling that. And that's one of the biggest issues that many, many people, millions of people are facing. But the people that I help with tax resolution work, they have other larger problems. And those problems are in the double digit and triple digit, I owe the IRS $150,000. What do I do? And those are the people that fall into my purview and that I help out. So it's business related. It's the small business, self-employed. It's the individual self-employed people like you and I. We're self-employed. Yeah. And those are the people that I help get out of tax debt. We figure out what's the best resolution option. Are they going to get on a payment plan? Maybe they can occasionally have an offer and compromise deal. Very small percentage of people get offer and compromise where they end up paying, quite a bit less to the IRS than what they owe. But those are the people that fall into my purview, and I'm helping them out. And it's a very individualized process. It's a very long process. It takes months and months to figure this out. They didn't get into trouble overnight. They're not going to get out of trouble overnight. Same with the coaching clients. So
right, exactly. Yeah. It looks like we have a fan of yours. Laura says that Christine has a wealth of tax knowledge.
Oh, thank you, Laura. I appreciate that.
So tell me, when you were working with the IRS, because this is fascinating mm-hmm. to me,
yes.
What did you try to, because I can't imagine working at the IRS and then becoming a financial coach, you couldn't have been one person with the IRS and one person as a financial coach. So what experiences did you have in Austin working for the IRS in Austin that you were able to apply to your coaching business when you went full time with the coaching?
Oh, great question. Great question. So my time at the IRS, I spent a lot of time, as you mentioned, on the phone talking with thousands and thousands of people. A lot of those people were self-employed, or they didn't know they were self-employed, but the IRS, because of the type of income they received, the IRS considered them self-employed. So they got these notices. And I worked in this department that sent out those notices to people that said, hey, we think you owe more tax. Tell us if we're right or wrong. And most of the time the IRS was right. So, you know, they're on the phone with me and I'm saying, look, you need to do this. I can maybe help you mitigate some of your tax this year, but going forward, please do these things.
Right.
Send some money to the IRS, you know, once a quarter, that's self-employment tax. So I would educate people on what self-employment income is, and the tax that they need to send in at least once a quarter.
What's the most common misconception? Is it when someone receives a 1099 and they don't realize that suddenly that qualifies them for maybe that tax?
Yes, that's a good one. That is, honestly, that's probably the biggest one. They get this 1099 and they don't realize, like you said, it's self-employment tax. They kind of know they have to report it because it's an official looking IRS form. So they might get it on there. But what they don't understand is there's going to be self-employment income tax that's going to end up on their tax return. And that catches them, you know, off guard. And so they have this really big, potentially really big tax bill that they have to pay. So
sure. Right.
The other thing I saw or heard a lot about was, and I even wrote this in my little book, I wrote out a little dialogue. Most common conversation I had with someone on the phone was, well, I didn't know I was supposed to report this, or the contractor told me, the guy I was working for said, yeah, don't worry about it, I'm not going to report it to the IRS. Wrong.
But if you got a 1099, the contractor did indeed already report it.
Well, sometimes they get a 1099. Okay. Sometimes they don't. And I talk about this. Even though you don't get the 1099, you still need to report that income on your tax return, because 9 times out of 10, the contractor is going to report it. It's an expense to them. So of course they won't claim it. It's income to you. So that's a big misconception out there. You have to report the income, whether or not the contractor sends you the form, or you know, you get some kind of receipt or statement that says you got paid.
Right. This isn't going to Vegas and winning $150.
Right. Yes.
This is,
Yes.
Someone else is telling the IRS that you've been given this money.
Yes. And speaking of going to Vegas and winning that $150, guess what? Ooh, that's taxable income too. So.
Yep. I know. Yes.
Do you know from personal experience, Suzanne?
No, because I've been to Vegas once, twice actually, but only one time did I ever gamble. And we had X number of dollars set away and I lost it within about 10 minutes, because that's my luck. So
there you go. Yep.
Do they allow you to claim gambling losses? Maybe I should have done that.
Yes, you can. You can claim gambling losses up to your winnings, the amount that you win. So,
well, and I would have had $500 that following year, but I didn't do it because I didn't win anything.
There you go. Lesson learned.
Exactly. So you have a book coming out, and I am extremely excited, because those thousands of conversations you've had, hopefully the person who took your place at the IRS will be having less than those thousands of conversations once people read your book. So tell our audience what you have coming out in the next, actually on tax day, correct?
Yes.
Being released on tax day, folks, pun intended.
Yes. Now tax day officially this year is April 18th, but typically it's April 15th in most other years. So no coincidence there. April 15th, my book is being released, and my book came out of, in part, my 5 years of experience in this one particular department I worked at the IRS, you know, talking with all those people. And then in my tax resolution work that I do today, those business clients, they're the ones that have, you know, the same self-employment issues. So this book, there's the 10 best tax tips. You know, this is what you need to follow in the book. That's the name of the book, you know, how to avoid trouble with the IRS. 10 best tax tips for the self-employed, gig worker, and indie contractor.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. This book will show you quickly and easily how to avoid self-employment tax problems with the IRS. I laid it out. It's simple, straightforward language, no IRS jargon, not any technical stuff that you have to figure out. It's practical steps with real life, you know, client stories inside the book. And you'll learn how to avoid commingling with money. That's one of the biggest things that newly self-employed people do. And actually, I run across a number of people that have been self-employed for several years. They're still commingling. And commingling is when your business income is coming into your personal, you know, checking or savings account. That's a huge no-no. You got to separate those things out. So I talk about that. I talk about getting an EIN versus using, which is an employer identification number versus using your social security number. Talk about business budget. Do you have a business budget? If you don't, you need one. And then putting a line item in your business budget for sending that tax money to the IRS. And then how to send the money to the IRS. What's the best way to do that? So those are some of the tips I have in the book.
That's awesome.
They'll help people.
I'm laughing about your commingling thing because I came from prior to financial coaching, I was in professional sports. And then right after that, I was in commercial real estate. And one of the things that we had to make sure as the people who were managing these huge properties for these either institutional owners or private owners, I had a couple of private owners who owned shopping centers. we had to make sure that X dollars from this weren't going into this, whatever the account was to pay the taxes, or, this was for the maintenance and this was for, it is weird to me that people don't know that term, but it's just because of the line of work I was in that I happen to know it. So that's very, very important. And that's what I tell new coaches all the time. We need an EIN number and we need a separate business account before we start doing anything. Please.
Yes.
So I know that, Christine, you and I didn't just learn these things magically overnight through osmosis under our pillow. We made mistakes with money.
Guilty as charged.
Exactly. So tell our audience, what was the dumbest thing you've ever done with money?
Oh gosh. So the dumbest thing I ever did with money has to do with the car I purchased back in March of 2009. That car was new to me. I'd had a long history of driving really crappy cars that would break down. I had to spend money. I was trying to get out of debt. It was a dark period of life. So I went out and bought for about $1,800 or $1,900 a car warranty. And that was for sure. That was before I knew anything. That was a colossal waste of my money. $1,900 at the time was a huge, huge sum. And of course, I put it on my credit card, adding insult to injury. And it was like, $1,900. How am I ever going to pay this off? And so, of course, anyone that's ever bought a car warranty, the devil's in the details of those little contracts. And even though it looks like it's going to cover everything, it basically covers nothing.
Yeah.
And I got snookered. I think I had to take my car. I tried maybe once, maybe twice. I was thinking back on this and I had some problems with my car and I took it to my car guys and I said, okay, here's my car warranty. And I know this is covered. And no, sorry, Christine, it's not covered in here, but wait, it says thus and so and blah, blah, blah. No, not really. So
I had
to pay cash for it. So,
how much was the car? Do you remember?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
How much was the car?
Oh, my car. Oh, that was $10,000.
Okay. And so we had a $10,000 car and a car warranty that cost almost 20% of the car price.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Good math. Yeah. And that car, man, I had to scrape together $1,000 for a down payment and get $9,000 on a loan to, all these dumb things to get that car. So don't buy car warranties, especially, aftermarket.
Yeah. What was something that you remember being wrong with the car that wasn't covered?
Oh, gosh. It has something to do with my struts, I believe, that comes to mind. So that was a long time ago. So
it's, that's something that's wear and tear, right? And that's the stuff your warranty is not going to cover. It's going to cover if the transmission falls out of the back of the car, right?
Right.
So it's going to, you're driving down the road and suddenly the transmission's behind you. It's going to cover that, right? That's not expected. But stuff that has wear and tear, struts, brakes. The only time I can tell you is that my husband and I have ever bought a car warranty together. I had never purchased one personally, is when we bought a used sports car. And it was a very specific warranty tied to a sports car. And we brought it home and we poured over this thing for like 3 days because they gave us we couldn't take delivery of the car until there was like a seatbelt issue or something very minor. And so we had time to pour over this warranty and we did decide that it was worth it to us at that time because of what it did cover. But the standard car warranty is not going to cover that wear and tear on a used, because a used sports car is going to wear at stuff that other cars aren't. Right.
Yes. And this is a Toyota Yaris. It's a Toyota. you know, it's like, it's not,
they're not supposed to break down. Anyway. Wait a second.
Right. But you know, I was coming from a place of fear and anxiousness and anxiety and just really crappy cars, a dark period of my life. And so that gave me a false sense of, looking back, a false sense of security. Yes. Had I had a financial coach to speak to about this, they probably would have helped me realize, no, Christine, just save the money, that $150 a month payment, set it aside in a sinking fund. Because yes, eventually you're going to have stuff that goes wrong with your car and you can access that money. But
Even with a Toyota, someone has some nice words for you. Christine is very organized, detail-oriented, skilled, and experienced.
Oh, thank you, Ed. I appreciate
all of those things. All of those things. And our friend Abby says that we are powerhouses.
Hey, Abby. Thank you. Yes, we are.
You've got quite a fan club going here today, Christine. So let's focus on the car warranty again for a second. If we could go back in time, how would we change this? We would set aside the $150. We would have the sinking fund. A lot of people don't know what sinking funds are. I probably spend half my life explaining them. Christine, what is a sinking fund?
So in a nutshell, a sinking fund, it's a glorified name for a savings account for something particular, I would say, something special. A lot of times I joke around with my kids about having their emergency water fund heater fund. I just repeated myself. Your water heater emergency fund. If my kids are listening, you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's going to go out. So, you know, Dave Ramsey likes to talk about, you know, when it rains, it pours, and it's going to rain. We know this. It's not an option. So you set a little bit of money aside slowly over time and you're building up this sinking fund. So when something happens or when you're ready to buy the thing, the money is there.
Not only is it going to rain, so let's make sure we have an umbrella, right?
Yes, yes.
The water heater is going to break on like January 15th, like the coldest day of the year.
The coldest day of the year, right. And it's going to be a Saturday.
It's going to be, or a Sunday. It might even be like, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. Day weekend and everyone's
there
off.
There you go, right.
Like it's going to break. Right. It is going to break at the most inopportune time. Yes. And if you have the cash, let me tell you, making that phone call to that plumber to say, I need you here now.
Yes.
I don't care what it costs, quote unquote. I don't want you guys to pay $5,000 for a water heater that needs $120 repair, right? Let's not be stupid. But to have that confidence in knowing, I know I can pay this guy's overtime.
Yes.
I know I can pay whatever rate they quote me because I have this money sitting
somewhere.
Because
I have the money.
That is such a different phone call than when you are calling someone and going, how quickly can you get out here? And do you take American Express?
Yes. Yes. Your totally crisis becomes not only the crisis, the thing you need, but now you're financing it and you're going into debt.
So now it's a water heater crisis, a middle of winter crisis.
Right.
Abby says, or it goes out 2 days before you're going to leave town. Abby, I was going to say it happens 2 days before you have company coming into town.
There you go. Right.
That's my favorite.
And that's how do you know that, Abby? Are you speaking?
Having that confidence to say, I don't care that his rate is not 120 right now and it's 300. Easter Sunday last year, I had 25 people in the house. The sink would not drain.
Yes.
My husband's nephew comes out of the bathroom and goes, I don't think the toilet's flushing properly. And I'm like, oh dear God.
I need my plumber.
And we literally went down a list of people and they're like, you know, it's Easter Sunday, right? And I was like, yeah, what's his hourly rate times 2.5? What's his hourly rate times 3?
Right.
Just send him over. I can't have a house full of 25 people with no guest restroom. That's crazy.
Right. Outhouse is currently not functioning. So
exactly. Abby says she is $1,600 poorer, probably because of that water heater, but it came from the sinking fund.
It sucks to have to use your sinking fund money because you maybe worked for a long time to save that up. But at the same time, thank God it's there.
Right. Absolutely. And Beverly, our friend Beverly, the sinking fund is the most transformational new habit for our clients. Hands down. Yes.
Agree 100%. Beverly. Thank you.
Christine, not only do you have a book coming out, I am actually even more excited about this. I am obviously buying your book, but I am super excited that you have a radio show coming out because I am a good talk radio person.
Yay.
So next Thursday, today next we are Thursday. Recording this on March 3rd, 2022, mm-hmm. on March, next Thursday, which is March 10th.
Yes.
Christine will be hosting a radio show. Tell us about this.
Yes. So it's just great story of how I, you know, stumbled into this, but my radio show, it's a segment on an existing radio show, and you can tune in live KTEM 1400 AM 94.3 FM. It's streaming. And my segment is going to be Dollars and Cents with Christine. And you have to visually see cents as S-E-N-S-E. So it's an open platform. I'm going to be talking about financial coaching, you know, tips on financial coaching, not financial coaching, but how to help people with their finances. The other focus is tax needs for people. I'm going to be giving out tax tips. There'll be a call-in for people to, you know, ask me questions live. And I'm just going to dish on all things IRS and how people can, you know, take back control of their money, stop the paycheck to paycheck living cycle and things like that. So it's every Thursday morning.
So important, yeah. The tax stuff, the budgeting stuff.
Yes.
I am going to put a link in the show notes on all of our platforms here to the radio station with the listen live button, because I have already looked it up myself, so I know where to get it.
Thank you. Yeah.
We are so excited. Oh, everybody please visit Christine Stevenson, EA is an enrolled agent, .com. Sign up for her email list. That way you will get notified as soon as her book is available. Kind of hard to forget April 15th, but it will be available on April 15th, the next 5 weeks. And we're very excited for Christine. And honestly, very excited for the knowledge that is going to be passed on in this book, because a lot of people watching and listening to this right now, we all need, we might not all be self-employed, but we...
You probably know someone that is.
You probably know someone who is. You have a family member who is.
Yes.
Something to that effect. This would be a great Easter gift.
There you go.
2 days later.
Right. Ooh, good tip.
So, and we'll leave on this. Christine seems to really know what she's talking about. Articulate and well-spoken. Her book sounds very...
Thank you, Bill.
Pertinent. It is. It is very pertinent. Yes. And yes, we are so excited about your book, Christine. So Christine, thank you again for joining us. Thank you for being honest about your personal financial blunders with car warranties. Someone out there is going to hear this and they are going to avoid that mistake for themselves. So Christine Stevenson, EA.com, and check the show notes for the link to her live radio show. Thank you so much, Christine.
Make sure to subscribe to the Grace Financial Coaching YouTube channel, and please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.